Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellamy, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love. Welcome
to the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host this evening, Alfreda Love, and I thank each and every one of you who are currently listening online. I want to thank God, and I want to thank my family. And today we have a show that will encompass doors open, doors closed, and doors halfway open, and we will follow it with Scripture. But first we must pray, and then we will have our Scripture, and then we'll have our lesson, and then I will answer a question from a guest from Kentucky, and I would like to once again say welcome to each and every one of you from all over the city and states and other countries, and I appreciate once again your attentiveness to the ministry and the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us to wake up this morning, starting us on our way. We thank you for blessing us as we went to our prospective places to worship you, Heavenly Lord. Heavenly Father, in spirit and in truth, Lord, we thank you for traveling grace. We thank you for health and strength. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the wisdom that you've given. Lord, we thank you for the ministry. We thank you for the people. We thank you for the connections. We thank you for the careers. We thank you for, once again, the ministries. We thank you for the endeavors. We thank you for the people who are reaching out. We thank you for our families. We thank you for life, liberty, hope, freedom. We thank you for everything, Lord. And as I said before, and as I will continue to say, if we had a million tongues, we could not say thank you. Lord, we're asking, would you continue to look down upon those individuals who are going through bereavement, Lord? Give them strength and courage in a most particular way, because we know that you are the comforter. We know that you are Yahweh, El Shaddai, Elohim, Allah. We know that you are all those individuals, and we know that you can take care of us, and we know that you can lead us into the path of righteousness. Lord, we're asking that you bless those children who are in the hospitals. Bless their families. Bless them name by name. Bless them one by one. Then bless them as a whole, Heavenly Father. We thank you for each gift. We thank you for each guest who comes on the ministry, Lord. We are continuing to ask for blessings for the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry, where the host is Alfreda Love. And we're asking with the words that come out of my mouth to be conducive to that you expect, and which you decrease Alfreda Love to zero and increase you to greatness, Lord. We continue to ask for wisdom and knowledge from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, Heavenly Father. We're asking, would you continue to help us to be confident in the Word of God? Help us to be able to conquer the world and to live in this world who may or may not know you, Heavenly Father. And if we cross any paths of those individuals who do not know you, let us model the behaviors that you have given us that is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. If we have a lying tongue, Heavenly Father, we're asking you, would you correct it, Lord? If we have a deceitful heart, we're asking you, would you mend our hearts, Heavenly Father? If we have a deceptive, any type of deception, Lord, we're asking you, would you remove it in the name of Jesus, Lord? If we're asking for those people who are asking, what shall I do, Lord? We're asking, would you give them direction and would you give them understanding? Would you help them to be more godly-like and to emulate godly behaviors in an ungodly world, Heavenly Father? We're asking, as you bless those individuals who travel to their prospective places on tomorrow, whether it be their jobs, their businesses, wherever it is, would you ward out the devil, Heavenly Father, and would you bring in more behaviors that are you, Lord, that looks like you, Lord. We're just asking you, Heavenly Father, to continue to help us to be, as I said before, bold and confident in the Word of God, bold and confident in our living, bold and confident in what we do, Heavenly Father, so that we can serve, edify, and uplift your holy name, and not just serve and edify you, Heavenly Father, but to save souls and to continue to be role models that you would have us to be, as I said before, in an ungodly world. Lord, if we're too high, bring us down. If we're too low, Heavenly Father, bring us up. If our minds are anywhere but on you, Heavenly Father, bring them back to the kingdom of God where it needs to be, Heavenly Father. We just thank you, we uplift you, and we praise you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for each event that is coming up, Heavenly Father, whatever it may be, whether it's April 5th, whether it's May 5th, whatever date it is, Heavenly Father, we're just asking for a success and a blessing upon it, Heavenly Father. We thank you for each person who we are able to connect with. We thank you for each person who listens to the Word of God. We thank you for each person who is connected with us today. We thank you for each person who has came or who will come crying, Lord, what must I do to be saved, Heavenly Father? We ask you, Heavenly Father, would you bless this, the mind is a devil's workshop, project, whatever that is, Heavenly Father, because we want to be about the Father's business. We don't want to have an idle mind and go around as the devil did, seeking to and fro what we may destroy. We want to go around seeking what we may build up for the kingdom and for the glorification of you, Heavenly Father. We understand that you have dispensed angels and you have dispensed prophets and those men and women and boys and girls of God who brings the word, but in addition to that, the devil has dispensed his workers as well. And we understand and realize that we live in an ungodly world. But just because we live in an ungodly world does not mean that we have to be ungodly and we have to act in a godly way and treat people in a godly manner each and every day of our lives. Lord, we're asking would you continue to just give us the revelation, continue to open up our eyes where we shall see, Heavenly Father, those things that are of you and that we should cast away those things that are not. And then, Lord, we're just asking would you bless anything that we put our minds to. In Jesus' name we pray. Hey, amen, amen. And once again, I would like to say this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The scripture for today, once again, and actually it's a song, Psalms 18, 1 and 2. And it reads, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I'm going to go on to verse 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I have read to you Psalm 18. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and seekers of his word. And I want to say this as the Lord gave it to me. I read that scripture, Heavenly Father, and I want you guys to know that the Lord is saying, whatever you're doing, continue to do it. Because you are a Christian, because you know God, you have to be exposed to the ungodly world. That means there are some things in the world that is contrary to how you were raised, how we were raised. And the enemy always comes with plots, and the enemy always goes to and fro, seeking whom he or she can devour. But the test of time is, will you love the Lord? Will you stay on the mission for the Lord? Will you trust in God? And will you believe that he will be your salvation? Because, you know, salvation is free. It doesn't cost anything. So, therefore, as you go throughout your week and as you go throughout the rest of the days with this 20-day breakthrough that God is bringing, the Lord is going to test us. Because, as I said before, every place you go, everyone is not saved. Somebody got quiet. Everyone is not saved. We would love for everyone to be saved. Amen. But everyone is not saved. You have to know that wherever you go, Satan is going to always have workers. But the choice is, who are you working for? Who are you? What are you up against? And so even with you being saved, you have to understand that there are a lot of unsaved people as well. As many saved people as there are many unsaved people. But the test of time is, will you love the Lord, who is your strength, who is our strength? Will you trust in him? And we're going to talk about that today. And then salvation, we already know is free. And when you call up on the Lord, or who will you call on? Will you go gossiping? Will you go, what will you do? That's the thing. So we have to be prayed up because God is going to do some great things. Actually, this is going to be a great week because the devil is going to be cast out, believe it or not. And so just as Satan goes to and fro, the devil had to say, God had to say, you got to get out of here, Satan. Get thee behind me. And that's the type of attitude you have to take in a loving way. So, therefore, Psalms 18, read it daily, even in your Christian walk, because, as I said before, we live in an ungodly world. And the only time that we're in a godly place is when we make it up to heaven. Okay? And that's eternal life, and that's every day is nothing but psychic. So we might as well get as much of the word down here, because when we go up there, all it is singing. It's no time for gossiping, backbiting, eavesdropping. God says, we're singing. And when you're singing, you're focused on the Lord. And so your focus doesn't need to be on the enemy or those individuals who gossip or eavesdrop. Your focus needs to be on the Lord this week because the Lord is getting ready to do some things. All right? We have like 15 more days. Okay? So focus on the Lord because distractions is what the enemy wants. Distractions is what Satan likes. And anything that does not look like God, does not sound like God, if somebody's whispering in your ear, if somebody's telling you something that is not of God, then you need to say, bless you, but I don't have time. Okay? So, therefore, today we are going to look at doors. And I know some of you are thinking, what in the world? But when we look at doors, we're not just looking at the physical door. We're looking at the spiritual door that the Lord has opened, that the Lord has closed, and that the Lord has left ajar or half open. When we look at open doors, ladies and gentlemen, that is a door that we are able to enter into easily. It's a door that all we have to do is walk through it with little or no effort. When the door is open, anything inside is basically free reign. But we know our boundaries. The Lord is getting ready to open doors for some individuals. And within these doors that the Lord opened, to realize that God is still the head. And a lot of people say he's not the tail, but God is the Alpha and the Omega. And so we have to let God lead us in that open door, because that open door is a concept that we could never imagine. And so I want to read a scripture that I was given, and it comes from Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. If you have your Bible, I will give you a minute or two to go grab it. Hopefully it's by you, because that's your sword. The word of God should be hidden in your heart anyway. But in your Bible, it's Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. And this is about the open doors that some of you are already experiencing, some of us will experience in a few weeks. And you might want to write down a few notes about doors being open, because I'm going on the revelation of God, and I don't know what the Lord is going to give me, but I do know the verse. Revelation 3 and 8. And it reads, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. I need to read that again. I know your works. The Lord sees and hears everything. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. As I said before, in this Christian walk, and when we begin to pray for open doors, sometimes we become tired. Sometimes we need rest. But within our rest, and Jesus even had to rest, he had to steal away from the people because so many people were following him, and he had to steal away and he had to rest. When the doors become open, when your breakthrough arrives, we need to understand that some things had to happen for the breakthrough. First of all, we already know that we had to have faith with works. And the works consist of prayer, meditation, and spending time with God. Praying and spending time with God are two different things. Praying is as you are speaking with God. Spending time with God is spending time in the Word to understand him better. Okay? He says, I know your works. God sees everything we do. He does not slumber nor sleep. He said, I have set before you an open door. The door is open. The door is open. And how do you know that that's the door you're supposed to enter? You know that's the door that you are supposed to enter because God has opened it for you, obviously. God has opened it for you. You're able to walk through the door. And what you see inside that door looks like God. It feels like God. And you are successful at it. You may have some things that you are questioning, but that door is yours. And when God opens that door, when your breakthrough arrives, whatever your breakthrough is, I don't know what you've been praying for. I have no idea. I know what I've been praying for, but I don't know what you've been praying for. When the door opens, all right, then understand that no one can shut that door because God has authorized that door to be open. Somebody used to sing a song, what God has for me is for me. It has my name on it. Anything that has your name on it, you can share it, but it still belongs to you. If you own property, you can allow people to remain in a rent house, but it still belongs to you unless you sign it over. So the doors are open. But when you get there, you have to remain in the Word of God, and you have to acknowledge God. He said, you have kept my word and have not denied my name. You have kept my word and you have not denied my name. So when the doors open, when the breakthrough comes, you need to understand that the doors are open, okay? You need to understand that we need to continue to pray. We need to continue to remain in the Word of God. And we need to continue to spend time with God and keep him at the front and the back of us. As I said before at a workshop, I said you need to have positive people in the front, back, and on the side of you, okay? But when the door opens, and we're talking about doors here, then you need to make sure that whatever you do, you do not forget that God is the one that allowed you to walk through that door, and know that no matter what, no one can shut the door once God opens it. And as I said before, I said when God blesses you to walk through a door, okay, then you begin to bless and praise God, and you thank God for that open door, because God didn't have to open the door, but he did. There is something on the other side of that door that is for you, that God has reserved, in other words, for you. So continue to read that scripture. And if you are walking in an open door, or you have walked in an open door, then bless and praise the Lord and continue in prayer, because God can open many more doors from that one door that he opened for you. Secondly, if a door is closed, John 10, and I have 1 through 42, but we're not going to read all that. I want you to read it on your own, but I'm going to read 10, 1 through 11. Okay. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, which means that Jesus is the shepherd. And the only way the sheep can come inside that door is if Jesus opens it. Amen. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. All right? So in this, if the door is closed, thank God. Thank God for closed doors. And I want to stick a pin right there. Because many times the will that we have is not the will of God. And we have to make sure that when doors are closed, we're thanking God. Because that's just as Jesus said. He said, if we enter before him, that means if we just force our way, if we just force a blessing, if we just do something anyway and the Lord told us not to do it, then it's not going to be successful. You notice that the sheep did not follow the thieves and robbers. Why? Because they stole it. They're crooked. They stole it. They got into the door in a crooked manner, and it wasn't of God. So therefore, the sheep were wild. They basically didn't follow. But because the Lord opened the door. And whoever the Lord opened the door for, because God said he is the door of the sheep, and all whoever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The sheep heard Jesus. Why? Because he came in the correct way. The door was closed. Jesus went to the open door that was ordained by him. So if a door is closed, we need to pray, thank God, and bless God, because we never know what's behind a closed door, especially if Jesus said, no, you don't need to be there anywhere. No, you don't need to go there anyways. We need to understand that there is something behind that door that God may not be pleased with for you. Okay? As I said before, we have to be very careful, because a closed door does not mean that Jesus is saying, well, you know, you're not ready for what's behind it. It's that God doesn't want you to be exposed to whatever's behind the closed door. So you begin to praise and thank God for those doors that are closed. Will all doors be open unto you during this lifetime? Of course not. Will all doors be closed? Of course not. But once again, as we say with the open door, you thank God, you praise God, and you bless God. For a door that's closed, you still thank God, you bless God, and you praise God. And continue to read John 10, 1 through 42 when it talks about the closed doors. Because God said anybody who comes before him are thieves and robbers. So when the Lord blesses you with something, be sure that we be mindful that we do everything in a godly and decent order. We don't want to do anything crooked, anything under the table. We want to make sure that what we're doing is of God and is acceptable to God, because it'll work for a while. It may work for years. But then somebody's going to come back and say, I remember when. And a lot of people call closed doors favor when you're able to get in. But sometimes it's not favor. So we have to be able to discern, and we have to be able to do what thus says the Lord. So when the Lord closes a door, then we should still pray, and we should still thank God for closed doors. Because first of all, God didn't have to bring you that far, amen? But he brought you that far to teach you a lesson, that every door in life is not meant for you to walk through. Just like once you are saved, there are some places that you shouldn't be. And actually, there are some places that you should be. So therefore, when we talk about doors opening and doors closed, we see that there is a similarity in what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray, thank God, bless God, praise God. Okay? When doors are halfway open, we're going to read Matthew 7 and 7. Matthew 7 and 7 reads, I ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. When the door is halfway open and you are able to see what is on the other side, but you are not there yet, there are many reasons why you may not be there yet, and it may be because God is not ready for you to be there. It may be that there's more work to be done where you are. It may be that God wants you to have a greater appreciation for where you are and where he's taking you. There are a lot of reasons. It's not so much of, you know, well, you can't do it or you're not capable. It's the whole fact that Jesus is not ready. And if God is not ready, then you have to wait. And so when doors are halfway open, the Lord is continuing to feed our faith. And within our faith, we have to believe and trust in God that he's going to give us what's behind that door that is ajar. So in looking at this whole verse, we find that we have doors that are open. And I ask you to read Revelations 3 and 8 and read it again before you go to bed. Doors closed, John 10, verses 1 through 42. Doors halfway open, Matthew 7 and 7. When the doors are open, when the doors are open, thank God, praise God, bless God. When doors are closed, thank God again, praise God, bless God. When doors are halfway open, trust God, praise God, bless God. The only thing I said different was when the doors are half open, I said trust God. In each of these, we are to trust God. If the door is open, that means that you are trusting God. If the doors are closed, you still trust God because you're thanking him. And if the door is halfway open, you have to continue to have faith and trust God and believe that everything behind that door is yours. Because God is a man that he would not, what? Mm-hmm. That he would not lie. And so, therefore, whatever God has promised you is yours. But we have to remember in this lifetime that we're going to have open doors, we're going to have closed doors, and we're going to have half-open doors. We're going to have doors that God has placed us to walk through. We're going to have closed doors. And God has his reasons for closing those doors, because it may be something behind that door that you really shouldn't be into. And then there are doors that are halfway open where it is open. But the things which are contained in it, the Lord is still preparing. That's why he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And many people think it's death always. Sometimes it's places that he's preparing you to go, and he's trying to get it ready. He is getting it ready for you because it has to be tailor-made. Is that right? So just know the three things. Door open, Revelation 3:8. Doors closed, John 10:1-42. Doors halfway open, Matthew 7:7. And the question is, how do I know which door or level I am in? And it's basically, the answer is by your works. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps, and a woman reaps what he sows, what he or she sows. Galatians 6:7 is the way that you can tell which door you're in front of and which door you are behind, because you reap whatever you sow. So, excuse me, if the door is open, that means that you've been working hard for God. The door is closed, it could still mean you've been working hard for God, but whatever's behind that door doesn't measure up to the harvest. Or it's not, it's off track. And if the door is halfway open, you are into your season where you are plowing. And when you finish, all of those things belong to you. So today, ladies and gentlemen, if the door is open, we need to bless and praise God. If it's closed, we need to thank God. And if it's half open, we need to begin to trust God. Because all of us are in one of those seasons, an open door, a closed door, or a half-open door. Believe it or not, you ask a typical person, where are you at in your life? They'll tell you. And God is good, and God is great. I want to read a question. I've started something new because I receive over, like, 20 questions in my inbox or email per day dealing with situations, and what I entitled this spot on the ministry is Real Problems with Christian Solutions. As I said before, the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry is in the business of saving souls. We're in the business of promoting Jesus in a positive light. We're in the business of teaching and preaching the true gospel and helping individuals live in an ungodly world. Matter of fact, I have a project going on after this book entitled Christians in an Ungodly World. And it teaches us, according to Jesus Christ, how to maneuver, how to live in an ungodly world and still be a Christian. Okay? And the letter reads as this, and I'm not going to say any names, and I want to read it to you. Alfreda, I have a situation. I feel as if I am always being watched. I live and work around nosy, unsaved people. They go to and from like the devil. I'm tired of people eavesdropping on my conversations, watching to see if I fall, and just not being godly. What should I do? Lost in Kentucky. First of all, I want to say I welcome you to the ministry. If you would like, you can follow the ministry, and I will give you that information, or you can Facebook me. So be sure to listen to the ministry. Because I did tell you that I was going to address this question. First of all, thank you for the question. I want you to look in Luke 2:49. And it speaks about being about your Father's business. Many times if we are about our Father's business, which means doing what the Lord has called us to do, if we're in the ministry world, if we're at work doing what we're supposed to do, if we're out in the community serving how we're supposed to serve, or if we're putting on an event, planning like we're supposed to plan, then we really don't have time to see who's watching and who's not watching. So first of all, read Luke 2:49, and make sure that wherever this is happening, whether it's in your community, whether it's in the house of the Lord, whether it's at home, whether it's on your job, make sure that you are about your Father's business. Number two, you said that you are being watched and you feel like people are nosy or unsaved. Number two, Matthew 5:16, it talks about allowing your light to shine. People should be able to look at you and see God. This will be an opportune time because you can't really stop people from looking at you. You can't stop people from being nosy. I was joking with someone on Facebook, and I said any time that we have a nose, and even if we don't, then we still have the ability to be nosy. So Matthew 5 and 16 talks about let your light shine. And if people are watching, this is a good time for you or for us to emulate and be of the image of God. Because as I said before, wherever you go, you know, community, work, church, wherever you go, everyone is not saved. Everyone does not believe in the same God you believe in. People have different values. People have different opinions. God expects us to let our light shine. Number three, and this should really be the first one, but I was going by your letter, it says pray. That's 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. Do you only pray when you feel people aren't watching you, or do you pray when you feel people are watching? You pray in season and out of season. Because, as I said before, just like Satan, and the Lord has shown me this, Satan is going to and fro seeking whom he can devour. And so if you're about the Father's business, if you're allowing your light to shine, and if you're praying, then that means you are focused on the task at hand and your mind is stayed on Jesus. And any time our mind is stayed on Jesus, then we are not so sensitive to people, I don't want to say of the world, but the people who seem to get next to our skin, we're not so sensitive to that. And I wanted to give you what God gave me. People should not alter their walk. God should. People should not alter your walk with God. God is the only person who should alter it. So if someone is watching you, if someone is unsaved or saved, if someone is eavesdropping, if someone is doing all of this other stuff, then Luke 2 and 49, being about your Father's business, Matthew 5 and 16, allowing your light to shine, and praying, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. And you should not alter your walk with God because of people. If we continue to alter our lives because of people and what they do, what they say, how they act, then we're going to be altering for the rest of our lives. You know, that's why we should be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, to let you know that your labor is not in vain. So that's a good thing if they are. And I told somebody, if you ever pass out, then you'll never be on the floor that long. So some things you just have to get over, and you have to let go and let God, and you have to focus and depend on God, and you can't worry about how people feel about you. You can't worry about you know, people watching you, because as long as we have eyes, we're going to look, you know. But the whole focus is on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But you still have to love those people who you're talking about, the people who you feel like are watching you, the people who you feel like are nosy. You still have to love those people. That's a choice that you have to do. In this, since you feel that way, you should be found, or you should be caught speaking about positive things and about the word of the Lord. You should remain in the word. And you should grow in faith and focus on God. If we are focusing on God, we don't have time to gossip. We don't have time to backbite. We don't have time to try to destroy someone else. We don't have time for that. Because, as I said before, Michael Jackson said it best. He said, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. And each morning when I get up, I look at the lady in the mirror. And I say, what are you going to do today? You're going to be successful. And you're going to be. And you're going to deal with every situation that comes to you. Do we get tired? Yeah, we get tired. That's human nature. Everyone gets tired. Jesus was even tired, rested. Amen. But in saying that, there is a season. And in saying that, as Christians, we have to be Christians 24/7. And as I said before to my guest from Kentucky, you're going to have to understand that in this world, everyone is not saved. I don't know how to stress that. Everyone is not about the Father's business. Jesus has a lot of workers in the community, in the churches, in the homes, on your job. Satan has a lot of workers. Discernment is important. It does not mean to alienate yourself from those individuals who go to and fro, who eavesdrop. No. You still have to love those individuals. But that means that you have to be more accountable, and you have to pray. you have to let your light shine so that they can have something to see when they are watching. And as I looked, there was a gentleman on my webpage. I looked in the news, and Mr. Carter felt like people were spying on him. Jesus is saying the same thing. If you be about the business, whatever God called you to do, okay, if you be about the business of God, Luke 2 and 49, Matthew 5 and 16, if you're letting your light shine and if you're doing things that are acceptable unto God and if you're doing things in a fair and decent manner and if you're praying unto God, then it's no problem when you have these individuals who may eavesdrop, who may watch, who may be naysayers, who may go to and fro. There's no problem. Likewise, if we are guilty of eavesdropping, going to and fro, doing these things, we need to pray for our hearts and souls as well, because an idle mind is a devil's workshop. We have to continuously evaluate ourselves. Look at the person in the mirror. Are you solving all of the problems through Jesus Christ that you encounter every day? Or are we trying to point the finger at everybody else except ourselves? Because we all need to improve on something. So therefore, as I said before, I'm going to tell you again, Kentucky, Luke 2 and 49, Matthew 5 and 16, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, and I encourage you in Kentucky to please continue to follow the ministry, as I will have other questions, and this section is entitled Real Problems with Christian Solutions. And we're going by the scripture, not by what Alfreda think, because I think a lot of things. We're going by the word of God, because we have to help each other solve these type of problems, because these are real problems that happen to Christian people. And God covers us, but we deal with it daily. And we have to be one step ahead of the devil. Everyone will not go to church. Everyone does not read their Bible. They yell, Lord, have mercy. They say Jesus Christ. They know who he is. But I'm talking about really knowing, walking with God on a daily basis. And you have to be able to survive in an ungodly world. Period. Point blank. The things that we worry about, such as the negative things that people do unto God's people, that's footman stuff. We have to be bigger, and we still have to love those people. We have to respect them, and we have to treat them right. Do not get caught up in a situation where you are caught up in chaos. Be caught saying something positive, because every person that you encounter, whether it's community, whether it's church, whether it's on your job, they bring a gift, and without their gift, something is going lacking. You know, something will go lacking. So I'm praying for you in Kentucky. As I said before, you let your light shine. Let your light shine. And you have a captive audience. That's great if you have a captive audience. But that should not deter you. That should not destroy you. That should not break your heart. Okay? So we will have those questions. I will answer more questions. I have about 19 more, but I will answer them on the next few ministries. And it is entitled Real Problems with Christian Solutions. All right. Be sure to continue to encourage your family, friends, those you know, those you don't, to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Gospel artists, artists, promoters, authors, writers, publicists, anyone with a positive message or a positive gift from God, please be sure to Facebook Alfreda Love. That's ALFREDALOVE or FREDALOVE or EMOENYA_love@yahoo.com. I would love to have you on the ministry. The Reaping What You Sow event. Oh, my God. The Reaping What You Sow event. The Reaping What You Sow event. I'm at the Great Ebenezer Baptist Church, 919 Dutton Avenue, Waco, Texas, April 5th, 2014, 6 o'clock p.m. till about 8:15 p.m. We have donations, and we have tickets. If you are interested, it is not too late. Matter of fact, you can even come on the 5th, and you can help out in that manner. But we're having the Reaping What You Sow fundraiser event at the Great Ebenezer Baptist Church where the Dr. Kerry Berkeley is the pastor. Now, I don't just want to see you on April 5th. You can come before April 5th, and you can come after April 5th, but I definitely want to see your faces on April 5th. The whole community is invited. You don't need an invitation. I'm giving you the invitation right now. Just come on through the door anytime that the Lord has a program or anytime the Lord has something in his house, amen, everyone is welcome. So you can just come on in, and the doors will be open, amen. So if the doors are open, then come on in. That's what we spoke about today, right? The doors are open. Come on in, and the doors will be open at 919 Dunn Avenue, Waco, on April 5th, 2014, around 6 o'clock p.m. We look forward to having you there. Be sure on this week to check the newspaper on Saturday, as we will have the individuals who will be on the program. God has blessed us to be able to put another ad, amen, in the newspaper. So be sure to speak to your family and friends about this event. Bring at least 5 to 10 to 15, 20, 25 people with you. And don't come alone. And if you do come alone, that's still a blessing because the Lord is with you. But it would be nice if you would bring some other people so that they can be blessed as well. Thank you so much. In addition to that, continue to pray for 60 individuals. Make sure they are not all your family members. If you have to put all your family members on that piece of paper, make sure you put them all on one line and pray for them one by one, and then pray for yourself. In addition to that, what else do we have going on? Oh, the book signing event also is with the Reaping What You Sow event. Be sure to stop by, and you can make a contribution, a donation to the ministry as well as to St. Jude's Children's Hospital, and receive a copy of the book or the guide. Thank you so much. In addition to that, continue to pray for the Love of Jesus Ministry and all other ministries because we all need prayer. Continue to pray for me as I pray for you. Continue to pray for my family as I pray for your family. Also, God is doing some great things. I will have more artists who will come on the ministry. I will be traveling to Atlanta, Georgia, God's will, in May because I want to promote a few people. I just picked up another artist. Promote a few people, and also promote the ministry of God that God is blessing me with. So if you see a person over there with a sign that says Love of Jesus Up Ministry, that is Afrita Love. So come on over and smile, and I'll smile too, and I'll welcome you over, and then we can talk and all that good stuff. Also, I want to thank all those individuals who invited me to some of the speaking gigs this year. I appreciate you. I am still available. God is saying I'm available. I'm available to do the work of God who has sent me. In addition to that, I want you to continue to pray for yourself, pray for your strength, pray for any issues, problems that you are having, whether it's in the community at home, whether it's on your job, wherever it is, continue to pray for it. We know that God is busy and so is the devil, but God is more powerful, and in his power and might, he is able to give us a place of refuge. In addition to that, I want you to continue to support by listening to the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry. Once again, it's blogtalkradio.com/freetolove, FREDALOVE. If you want to come on the ministry, Facebook me at LFREDALOVE or FREDALOVE or EMONY_love@yahoo.com. I would love to have you. And, yes, I did just repeat that. In addition to that, don't forget, April 5th, I need you to write it down right now if you have not already. April 5th, 6 o'clock p.m., I need to see your faces. I had it, you know, in the evening time for a reason to give you time to relax so that you can be prayed up and stayed up for 6 o'clock p.m. We're going to have a good time. It's nothing more than a musical, and we have some great individuals who will come and minister to us in song, and I just really appreciate all of your support. If someone asks you what that big smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. Be sure to tune in tomorrow because I will have a special segment. I am praying to God on what that segment will be. But we will have a special segment on the Love of Jesus Up ministry that you don't want to miss. So be sure to come back. Once again, thank you so much to God, my family, and my friends, and to all 10 of my new listeners. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. And take care of yourselves and each other. Goodbye, everybody.